All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Tes. We're starting on Lamed Tes, three lines down from the top. Elo, edved dinaflu kishi shomeras yavim. So we'll say, remember again. So we're trying to reconcile the two statements in the Mishnah, the two statements of Beis Shammai. Because remember again, in the first case, in the Reisha, so Beis Shammai said that the Nichsei Malug ultimately fall to the Yavam, and in the Seifa, Beis Shammai says that when the Yavam dies, so the Nichsei Malug are split between the what we call the Yarshei Aisha, her father's family, and the Yavam's family. So the Gemara is trying to reconcile this seemingly contradictory position within Beis Shammai Shita. Ela idi v'idi, the naflu kishimi shomeres Yavam. Rather, both cases must be talking about where she inherited the property when she was awaiting Yibum. Reisha de lo avad ba'mamar. So in the first case of the Mishnah, the Yavam did not do ma'amar. And therefore, again, if the Yavam didn't do ma'amar, that's why, again, he has no rights within the property itself. Seifa de avad ba'mamar. And in the Seifa, the second case of the Mishnah, is where he did ma'amar. And therefore, v'kasava rava, ma'amar lebe shamai ose vaday arusa, v'safek nisua. And therefore, Rava holds that according to Beis Shammai, ma'amar does two interesting things. Number one, it makes her a vaday arusa, and it makes her a safek nisua. What does that mean? Vaday arusa litchos bitzara. So it makes her a vaday arusa in terms of the fact that once you do ma'amar with one of the women, it sets aside the tzara, that the tzara is not going to be the subject of the yibum. V'safek nisua makes her a doubtful nisua lachlok b'nechasim. In terms of property division, Itmar Mishmei de Rabbi Lazar, Kavasi de Rava. The Itmar Mishmei de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kavasi de Abai. So we'll say now we have two different versions, Abai and Rava, but how to reconcile the Shitos of Beis Shammai with the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says we have two different Braisos. One Braisa calls Rabbi Lazar in the name of Rava, and one Braisa calls Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina in the name of Abaye, or I should say supporting Abaye. Umi amar Rabbi Lazar hachi, did Rabbi Lazar really say this? V'ha amar Rabbi Lazar, ma'amar lebeis Shammai, eino kona elalit chos b'tzara bilvan. But yet we learn that that Rabbi Lazar says that ma'amar according to Beis Shammai does not acquire the Yavama, but rather again, all it does is what? Set aside the other tzaros that they are not going to be the subject of Yibum, to which the Gemara says, Efoch, you're right, switch around the Shitos. The Boisema, other possibility is, the Olam lo Seifach, you don't have to switch it around. Amar lecha Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar would say to you, Ki amri ana delo sagi la beget, ele deba'i na michalitza. When did I say that ma'amar by itself is not sufficient alone? That's only true that you can't go ahead and dissolve the relationship through a get, but rather you also require chalitza. However, lachlok b'nechasin delo kani mi amri. But again, Rabbi Elazar would say, I never addressed the issue of property division. That was never part of my discussion. So you're asking me questions about property divisions. Again, I never said anything. All I discussed was about the dissolution of the marriage, should there be ma'amar, just realizing that it would not be enough to give a get. You'd also have to do chalitza. Amrat papa, tiyukad demasnisin kavasi d'abayi. Truth is that a careful reading of the Mishnah would seem to support Abayi. Va'af agav de kashya mesa. And even though, again, the case of where she died still poses a kasha. Diktani, because what did the Mishnah say? Nechasim hanechnasim v'yotzim ima. Because what did the Mishnah speak about? The Mishnah spoke about property that goes in and out of the marriage with her. My nechnasin umayotzin. What do those phrases mean that go in and come out? So the Gemara says, Lo nechnasin l'rusha sabal. The yotzim l'rusha sabal l'rusha sa'av. Does it not refer to property that comes into the rishus of the husband and then leave the rishus of the husband to go to the rishus of the father, like in a case where the yavama dies? Va'af agav de kashya mesa. And even though, again, we have the contradiction case from where she passed away, ad mifligi begufa ula achar mesa. So the Gemara says, and even though there's a kasha on the case of where she died, so why don't you go ahead and set it to Machlokes as dealing with the case Bigufon after she died? Why do you have to do that? Go ahead and set it to Machlokes as dealing with the case of where she's still alive. And the fundamental question is, who receives the peros? And the Gemara ends off by saying, Visulomidi. There is nothing more to, conversation is over. There is nothing more to discuss regarding this particular subject. Okay, so I was like, at the end of the day, we're still left with the Machlokes, Abayi, and Rava. Ultimately, how to understand the apparent stira, the apparent contradiction between the two positions of Beis Shammai within the Mishnah. The Gemara goes on. Kinsa harehi. So also remember, the Mishnah said that once he marries her, so she is like his wife for all things. So the Gemara says, l'may hilchasa, what does that mean? I mean, what the Gemara is really saying over here is that not obvious that once the Yava marries the Yavama, of course, she is going to be like his wife for all things. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, lomar shemegarsha beget umachzira. It teaches us that what? That they will say after a man does yibum with a woman, so the surviving brother marries his sister-in-law, they did yibum. After that, if he wants to dissolve the marriage, he must do so with a get. That's number one. And number two, umachzira. And after he divorces her with a get, he is permitted to remarry her. Again, of course, assuming that what? That she does not marry someone else in the interim. So the Gemara says, Megarsha beget pshita. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to dissect this statement. That he has to divorce her with a get. Is that not obvious? Sakadai tchamina, I would have thought, hoil uksivbe, velokho lo liisha veyibma, amrachmana. Therefore, I would have thought like this. Since the pasuk says "Ulokacha lo liisha v'yibma," that the yavam will go ahead and take this woman, his sister-in-law, the yibman, he will do yibum with her. I might have thought "Va'adayin yibume harishon alel bechalitzein beget lo." So I'll say I might have thought like this. I might have thought that in reality, that this marriage is always called the yibum marriage, and therefore what? And therefore, should you want to dissolve this marriage at any point in time, it's not governed by the laws of normal divorce law. But what is it governed by? It's governed by the laws of Yibum, meaning that you'd have to do chalitza to end the marriage. Kamash molano. The Rabbos say, what the Gemara really saying is like this, and this, we've seen this concept already before, which is that essentially, what is Yibum? Yibum is the first act of relations between the surviving brother and the sister-in-law. That's Yibum. After that, what is it called?
Marriage.
So therefore, again, the Havamina is that maybe the whole relationship is called Yibum. And if they're married for another, 50 years, that's called Yibum. And therefore, should they decide to dissolve the relationship, it's governed by the laws of Yibum. I have to chalitza, kamash malon, no. It's not called Yibum. Once you have that first act of relations, that's Yibum. That affects the marriage. And then afterwards, ultimately, it's called marriage and not Yibum. Machzira. Now remember, the next thing the Gemara said is that if he divorces her, he gives her a get. So he is permitted to remarry her. So the Gemara says, Peshita, that's again, is that not obvious? Sakadai tchamina, I might have thought, mitzad rami rachmona ale avda, hashta tekum ale be iser eshes ach. Well, I might have thought, no. Because Lamaisa, remember, again, Rabbos say, let's talk in a vacuum. And it's talking in a vacuum. Reuven's married to Rachel. And what happens? Reuven has children. And Reuven dies. So is Shimon, the surviving brother, permitted to marry his sister-in-law? No, it's an erva. So I might have thought like this. Lemaisa, this is a very special license to be able to do this in a context of Yibum. But if you divorce that woman, then what? I would have thought you're done. That she once again becomes Eishes Ach. She once again becomes your brother's wife. Kamash Malalabos. And remember, it's the same concept. Because why? What happens? After you go in and you do Yibum, this relationship has transformed into a normative marriage to the point that even if you divorce her with a get, because it's a regular marriage, even if you divorce her, then what? Lemaisa, technically, you can remarry her. Ve'ema hachinami. But why not? Perhaps that is the halacha, that once you divorce her, you shouldn't be able to remarry her. Amar kra ulekacha lo liisha. Because the pasuk doesn't just say you will do yibum with her. The pasuk says you will take her as a wife. Kevan shelakcha, once you have taken her, harehi ki ishto lechol davar. She becomes like your wife for all matters. So we'll say halacha, and that is halacha lemaisa. Once you go ahead and once you do yibum, if you want to dissolve the marriage, you have to do it with a get. And technically speaking, if you were to divorce her, you would have the ability to go ahead and remarry her again, assuming she did not marry another man in the interim. Obivash teksuvah. So, but remember again, the Mishnah said there's one important caveat, which is that this yavama has a ksuva, but her ksuva is from her deceased husband's estate. Right, it is from the property of the first husband. Shabosai, remember, ultimately becomes the property of her present husband, because part of doing Yibum is, remember, you inherit the dead brother's share. But the idea over here is that her ksuva comes from her deceased husband's estate. My time, well, what's the reason? This is actually very interesting. What's the reason? Why shouldn't the second husband have to provide her with a ksuva if he's marrying her? To which the Gemara says, we're doing Yibum with her. My time, Ish is a great line. Isha, Hiknu lo min ha-shamayim. You know what I'm about to say? Because he has been given a wife from Shamayim. Rashi says, what does that mean? Isha hiknu lo yibu min ha-shamayim. Velo shibeid nechasa l'ksuvasa. V'yach l'mokra mechal ish yitzar. Now, what the Gemara is saying over here is what? The man, the Yavam, the surviving brother, did not bargain for this, right? Meaning he did not ask for this situation. Normally when you marry a woman, you understand that you are pledging anything and everything you do own and will ever own for the sake of her safety, security, and happiness. But that's because I'm making that decision on my own. Here, I've been placed in a situation where the Torah is asking me to do something, and therefore, again, l'maisa, because I'm not really... Obviously, I'm going to enter into it semi-voluntarily because I have the choice to do chalitza and not yibum, but l'maisa, contextually, situationally, I've been thrust into this situation. Therefore, again, because he's not doing this on his own volition, therefore, l'maisa, he can't be asked to encumber his property. However, we'll say important caveat, v'lesli min arishon, but let's say deceased brother does not have property. Let's say he just doesn't have any property, then tiknu la mishani. Then lemaisa, again, the new husband, the yavam, has to give her a ksuva from his property. Why? Kadei shelo tekala be'inav lahotzia. In order that he should not be quick to go ahead and divorce her. We will see in ksuvas that there are a number of reasons why Chazal, why the rabbis instituted a ksuva. So one of the reasons is that lemaisa, again, to provide for the safety and security of the woman. And the other one, which was all part of the same discussion, is in order that he should not be quick to divorce her. You know, I'll say now what does that mean? Because again, I will say, remember, let's say the Gemara will discuss if a man goes ahead and gets upset with his wife, he doesn't like what she made for dinner, and there are no repercussions for divorcing her, then what? He might be quick to do it. But if it's going to cost him a significant amount of money, suddenly again, he's not so quick to pull the trigger on that. Therefore, every woman has to have a ksuva. And again, actually, the halach is you're not allowed to live with your wife if you don't have a valid ksuva. So halach lemaisa, as much as it goes against the first husband's estate, if the first husband doesn't have any property, ksuva comes from the second husband's estate. And that is halacha lemaisa as well. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, so now we're going to get into some of the other mechanics. Mitzvah begadol yavim. The mitzvah is upon the eldest brother to do yibum. Lo ratza, eldest surviving brother to do yibum. Lo ratza, if he didn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it. Mahal chana kol ha'achin. Then we go brother to brother to brother to see, bless you, to see ultimately who is going to go ahead and do yibum. Lo ratzu, let's say no one wants to do anything. No one wants to do anything. Now we'll see what anything actually means. Does anything mean no one wants to do yibum, or it means they don't want to do yibum or chalitza? We'll qualify that in the Gemara. But again, so we're starting from eldest brother. If he doesn't want to do anything, we go from brother to brother to brother. If no one wants to do anything, then what? Chozrin etzel gadol. We go back to the oldest brother. Va'omno, we say to him, Alecha mitzvah. The obligation is upon you. O chalotz, o yavim. Either do chalitza or do yibum. Tala bekaton achi yagdil. So let's say again, the older brother says, you know what? There is one, I don't want to do yibum. I don't want to do yibum. But we have a younger brother right now who's a katon. Maybe when he gets older, when he becomes a halachic adult, he will be willing to do yibum. So he'll take it, right? So let's go ahead, right? Let's wait. Let's wait until he becomes a gadol. And we'll ask him again. We'll see what he wants to do. Let's say the oldest brother is not home. The oldest brother is overseas. So the younger brothers say, you know what, let's wait till our oldest brother gets back and see what he wants to do. O cheresh o shoten. And I will say, this is a very interesting case. Or they want to go ahead and have her do yibum with a brother who is a deaf mute. And I will say, we'll have to understand exactly what this case over here means. Because lemaisa, again, lemaisa, it's if you look at Tosas, for example, Tosas says becherish reshota midloka amar adshi yisrape mashma daafilu tala liyabim laalter ein shomin lefin shein chos minosas. So we're going to see this case a little bit different because Tosas says it sounds like that what they're saying over here is not that he's deaf mute and he might become better, but they're saying let him just marry her. Now there'd be a problem with that to begin with because lemaisa again he doesn't have das. The assumption is a deaf mute doesn't have das. You need das to affect marriage. So we'll talk about this more. But the point that Tosos learns out from this is the following. That Lemaisa, if one of the brothers are objectively unappealing to her, we don't make her do Yibum with that man. So we'll see later on, there's like the case of Mukashchin. So Mukashchin is like, he's like covered in boils or something, you know, some type of, he's some disfiguration or something that she just finds absolutely unattractive. So obviously we're not going to make her marry someone who she just finds unattractive. So we'll come back to Acheru Shoshot. So we'll say in all of these cases, whether you say, let's wait for the younger brother to grow up, let's wait for the oldest brother to come back from overseas, or let's marry after the Acheru Shoshot, Ein shomen lo. We do not listen to the brother who's saying this. Ela omrim lo, alecha mitzvah. You have the obligation, o chalotz, o yabem. So we're going to see in the Gemara, essentially what the Mishnah is saying over here is we do not delay. We do not delay. A woman's life is at stake over here. Every moment you don't do anything, you're tying her hand. She can't continue with her life. So we do not go ahead and delay this process, even though we want to wait for the older brother, there's a younger brother. No, we act now, says the Gemara. Itmar. Bias katan v'chalitzas gadol pligibar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Chad amar bias katan adifa v'chad amar chalitzas gadol adifa. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. Let's say the following situation. Two brothers, three brothers. Reuven dies, leaves behind Shimon a lady. So Shimon is the oldest surviving brother. Let's say Shimon wants to do chalitza, but Levi would be willing to do yibum. So we'll say, now the question is, which is better? Because remember, we just added the Mishnah start, mitzvah begadol. The mitzvah is on the oldest brother. So is it better to have the oldest brother do chalitza, or is it better to go ahead and have the younger brother do yibum? So we'll say, in other words, what the Gemara is trying to say over here is we have competing values. On one hand, we just said before that really the act should be done by the oldest brother. On the other hand, what's better to have happen? Is it better to have yibum happen, or is it better to have chalitza happen? If it's better to have yibum happen, then what? Or I should say, is it better to have yibum, or is it better to have the oldest surviving brother? If it's better to have yibum, then you're going to do that even if what? Even if it's the younger brother. If it's better to have the oldest take action, then the Maisa will have him do chalitza. So the Gemara Tzmachlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua, Chadam, Rabbi Yas Katan Adifa, once said that Yibum, mean literally the Bia of the Katan. It was like Katan over here, by the way, does not mean a halachic Katan. Katan over here means the younger brother. So it is better to have the younger brother do Yibum, the Chadam, Chalitza's Katal Adifa. And the other opinion says, no, it is better to have chalitza of the oldest brother. Mandam Rabbi Yas Katan Adifa. So the mandam who says that it is better to have the younger brother do Yibum, to have mitzvah be Yibum. Say very simply, because we'll say the mitzvah is Yibum. Remember, what is chalitza? Chalitza is the out for someone who does not want to perform the mitzvah. So of course, if one of the brothers, even if it's not the oldest one, wants to do Yibum, of course that is the best. Uman d'amr chalitzas godol adifa, and the one who says that no, it is better to have the chalitza of the eldest brother, he says b'makom godol bias katan laf klumi, that when there is an older sibling who is willing to take action, the actions of the younger sibling become absolutely irrelevant. Fundamental machlokes tanan. So what do we learn in the Mishnah? Lo ratza, if the oldest brother did not want to act, machzira kol ha'achen, we go and we ask all of the other brothers if they are willing to act. So the Gemara says, my love lo ratza liyabim el alachlots. Is the Mishnah talking about a case where the oldest brother did not want to do yibum, but was willing to do chalitza, and yet what did the Mishnah say? Vekatani mehalchin eitzel ha'achen, and yet what did the Mishnah say? Even though the oldest brother is willing to do chalitza, not yibum, what do? We go to the other brother, see if they're willing to act. What do you see from there? Shmamina bias katan adifa. Abba say, what do you see from there? That it is better to have a younger brother do yibum than an older brother do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, lo, no, that's not the case. Lo ratza lachlots velo liyabim. No, the case where it says that the older brother didn't want to do anything means what? He mamish did not want to do anything. He didn't want to do yibum. He didn't want to do chalitza. And Abba say, you'll say to yourself, what's the big deal? If he doesn't want to do yibum, why does he want to do chalitza? Because also, I remember, there's like a little bit of like a shtach. There's a little bit of a busha to the embarrassment, to bless you, to the man who does chalitza. You know, he's called Beis Chalutza now. Like, you know, we'll see the whole process. So truth is, it could be, he says, like, I don't want this. Like, I don't want to marry her. But I just also don't want like the negative image of being the guy who did chalitza. So the Gemara says, no, the case of the Mishnah is where the old girl didn't want to do anything. So then playing that out, well, so then the way that you have to read the Mishnah's case is like this. The older brother doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to do Yibum or Chalitza. Went to the younger brothers. They didn't want to do anything either. So what did the Mishnah say in that case? The Mishnah, we go back to the older brother and we tell him, listen, you have to take action. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, amai chosim eitz lagodol. What's the point of going back to the oldest brother? Lemichbie, because we're going to force him to do something. If that's the case, lekafye ledido. Why don't we force if we're going to force someone, why do you have to keep going back and forth? Just force one of the younger brothers to do something. Kevan de mitzvah alei, dide ramya ledide kaifina. Because since the ikra mitzvah is with the older brother, therefore we force him to take action. Tanan. Remember, what did the Mishnah say? That if the brother said, let's wait for our little brother, who's literally a katan, wait till he gets older and he'll take action. So what's the halacha? We don't listen to him. But if it would be better for a younger brother to do yibam than an older brother to do chalitza, then what? Then why don't we just wait? Then perhaps we should wait. And according to your reasoning, again, in the case of where the oldest brother was overseas, remember the Mishnah said that we don't listen to the other brothers if they say, wait for our big brother to get back. Am I? Why is that so? Nintar, let's wait. Dilma asi v'cholitz. Perhaps the older brother will come back and do chalitza. Ella, rather, why don't we wait? Kosha huye mitzvah lo meshahina. Because we've all said the klal we have by Yibam is we do not delay. We do not cause any unnecessary delays in the performance of the Yibam mitzvah. Top of Lamites. Ista amri bebiya. Supposed to say that klal, by the way, is a klal that's accepted by no one's arguing in that principle. The application of it will look different for in different cases, but lemaisa, we do not delay the performance of bia really it's yibum or chalitza for any external purpose. Top of lamites is the amri bebia. So say the Gemara says a different version of this. So remember, where we're still left over here is with the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua. That Rabbi Yochanan holds that it is always better to do Yibum. Yibum is the way we want to do this, and therefore, again, even if it's, we'd rather have the younger brother do Yibum than the older brother do Chalitza. That is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, no, it is better for the oldest brother to act. That's what's most important, even if that act is going to be chalisa, and even though you have a younger brother who's willing to do yibum. That's the machlokis we're left with now. So the Gemara now brings out another version of that machlokis. Is the amri? There are others who explain. No, if one of the brothers is going to do yibum, everyone will agree that what? That lemaisa, it is better to have yibum done, even if the yibum is going to be done by a younger brother. So when do they argue? B'chalitzas katan. In the case, ultimately, again, of where the younger brother is going to do chalitza. V'hachi itmar. This is what it means to say. Chalitzas katan v'chalitzas gadol. So also, here's the shayla. So now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is like this. Everyone agrees that l'maisa, if one of the brothers is willing to do yibum, then what? Let him do it. And I will say, you should know, that is how the Rambam paskins as well. That lemaisa, again, if you have a situation where the older brother is willing to do chalitza, but the younger brother is willing to do yibum, if one of the brothers is willing to do yibum, we always allow yibum to happen. Now we're going to qualify that statement as well, because that's going to change over time, as we'll see. But in the abstract, we'd always rather have yibum than chalitza. But here's the shayla. Let's say none of the brothers are going to do yibum. No one's doing yibum. The shayla is there a distinction if the oldest brother does chalitza or one of the younger brothers does chalitza? So the Gemara says, "Pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. This is machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Chad amar chalitzas gadol adifa. So one opinion, i.e. Rabbi Yochanan, holds that we want the chalitza of the oldest brother, that we would like the older brother to be the one who takes action. He should do the chalitza. The other opinion says, ki hadadi ninhu. That no, chalitza is chalitza is chalitza. And once that's happening, what? It doesn't make a difference who's doing it. So whether it's the older brother or the younger brother. Daha mitzvah, I'm sorry, ki hadadi ninhu. Man da amar Rabbi Yochanan who holds chalitza's god ladifa, that we'd rather have chalitza done by the oldest brother. Daha mitzvah begodl. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Yochanan it is always the mitzvah of the oldest brother to act. And whenever we can have the oldest brother act, that's what we would prefer. The idach, and the other opinion says, ki aminan mitzvah begadol le'inyan yibum. When do we say that there is a mitzvah for the oldest brother? That's only when Rabbi Yochanan That's only by Yibum. Meaning, when do we say that the mitzvah is on the oldest surviving brother? That's by Yibum. But I will say, once chalitza is going to happen, then lemaisa, again, it doesn't really matter to us halachically who is going to perform that chalitza. So this is now a new framing of the machlokis. In this version, Rabbi Osei, everyone is going to agree that lemaisa Yibum always takes precedence over chalitza, even if it's going to be a younger brother who does Yibum. So what's the machlokis? The machlokis is, if chalitza is going to happen, is there a preference for having the older brother do chalitza, which is the position of Rabbi Yochanan? The answer is yes. Or do we say, no, once it's going to be chalitza, we really don't care who's doing it, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. So Gemara says, fine, Tanan. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to try to figure out who is correct from the Mishnah. So Tanan, lo ratzu, if the younger, now this is the case over here of where the older brother, the Mishnah said, did not want to act. So we go then to the younger brothers. The younger brothers did not want to act. So what do? Chozrin Eitzel Gadol. We go back to the oldest brother and we say to him, listen, you're the oldest brother, you have to take action. My love, so what's the case over here? My love, lo ratzel yab me'el achlos, is the case that we're dealing with, not the case of where the younger brothers did not want to do Yibam, but were willing to do Chalitza. And yet what does the Mishnah say? The katani chozrin eitzel gadol. And yet what does the Mishnah say? We still go back to the oldest brother. What do you see from there? Ushmamina chalitzas gadol adifa. What do you see from the Rabbosai? That even though the younger brother is willing to do chalitza, we would rather have the oldest brother do chalitza in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, to which the Gemara says, lo, that's not the case. Lo ratzu, lo lachlots v'lo yabim. What's the case over here? The case over here is where Rabbosai, the oldest brother didn't want to do chalitza or yibum. Then they went to the younger brothers. The younger brothers didn't want to do chalitza or yibum. They didn't want to do anything. Dikavase gabi gadol, lo ratzu lachlots v'lo yabim. Well, so we're dealing over here with a case of where none of the brothers, including the oldest one, want to do yibum or chalitza. Ella amai chozrin eitzel gadol. So why do we go back to the oldest brother after the younger ones refuse to do anything? Lemichbie, in order to compel him, to force him, oldest brother, to do something. Well, I don't understand that. You're going to force anyone to do chalitza. Lichfaihu lididai. So why don't you go ahead and force the younger brothers? Meaning, why do you have to go back to the old? If you're forcing someone, why don't you force the ones you're currently dealing with? To which the Gemara says, no, kevan de mitzvah ale didei ramyo lididei kaifina. Because since the ikar mitzvah rabosai is what? Is with the oldest brother. Therefore, he is the one that we force to act. Okay. Tashma. Tala begadol atshav mdinasi. I'm supposed to remember, what did the Gemara not quotes again from the Mishnah? So what did the Mishnah say? That if they wanted to go ahead and say the older brother will do Yibum when he comes back from overseas, so then Lamai said again, in Shomam, we don't listen to him. We don't listen to the other brothers. V'isakadaitcha chalitzas gadol adifa amai in Shomam lo nimtar dilma asi v'chalitz. But I will say, if you are correct, that it is preferable to have the oldest one do chalitza, then what? We should wait till he returns from overseas and let him do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, "L'tameich bekatan ad shiagdil in shomelo." But yet, according to your logic, when the Mishnah said that if the brothers say we have a younger brother who's literally a katan, let's wait until he grows up and see if he wants to do yibum. Yet the Mishnah says we don't listen to him. Am I? Why is that? Nintar dilma gadol miyabim. Why don't you wait till he grows up and see maybe he'll be willing to do yibum? Ella, rather, Rabbi Osei, what do we say? We do not go ahead and delay the performance of any mitzvah. So we'll say, in this version of the machlokas, so now we have two versions of machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. In version number one, the machlokas is, which is better, chalitza of the gadol or yibum of the katan? And in that case, we pass in yibum of the katan. Right, yibum, if one of the brothers is willing to do yibum, we would much rather have that. Version number two of the machlokas is, if assuming yibum is not going to happen, everyone agrees that yibum takes precedence in version number two. In version number two, however, the question is, if there's going to be chalitza, is there a preference to having the oldest one do chalitza? Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Rabbi Yeshua says no. And both say the Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan, that if one of the brothers is going to do chalitza, it is preferable to have the oldest brother do that. However, what's the caveat? If having the oldest brother do that is going to cause an unnecessary delay, then Lamai Sawat will just have one of the younger brothers do it. So again, if the older brother is here, present and ready, we'd rather have him do it. But if it's going to cause an unnecessary delay, then any of the brothers could do chalitza. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan Hasam, what we learned there? Mitzvahs Yibam Kodemes La Mitzvah Chalitza. And I will say now here, the Gemara actually rules explicitly on what we just said before. This is actually a Mishnah in Ksuvas. He quotes over in Mesoras Hashatz. So here the Mishnah says it explicitly that it mitzvah of Yibum is preferable to Chalitza. Look, so I'll say this is now quite explicit. Mitzvah Yibum is preferable to Chalitza. Berishona Shai Miskavnin L'Shemitza. And I will say, when is that true? That's true in the old days. Because what happens in the old days when a man was doing Yibum, he had explicit intent for what purpose? For the mitzvah. To go ahead and establish this, to perpetuate the name of his deceased brother. He had kavana for the mitzvah. However, again, achshav shein miskavnun l'shem mitzvah. But now that if a man does Yibum, we can't trust that he has in mind for the mitzvah. Meaning he may desire his deceased brother's wife. There may be other desires that are pushing him to do this. Therefore, again, amru mitzvahs chalitza kovdemes l'mitzvahs Yibum. Therefore, it turns out that what? It is better to do chalitza than it is to Yibum. So also what the Gemara is saying over here is better, again, if there's a doubt that the act of Yibum is not being done for pure l'shem shamayim purposes, we'll see it's like playing with halachic fire. Therefore, don't do it, and we would just simply rather have you go ahead and do chalitza. So we'll say, what's interesting also about this is, and this is going to be a sugi by itself, we're going to discuss this more, but what's interesting is sometimes when you see how the halacha evolves based on what the halacha perceives to be the realities, the societal, the current realities. So once upon a time, Yibum was encouraged because it was assumed that people could do it with the proper intent. Something changed, people changed, mankind changes. So the ma'isa again, it was the Chazal perceived that that pure intent was not necessarily going to be present, and if that's the case, better to just simply do chalitza. So the Gemara says the following: Amru mitzas chalitza kudav sl mitzas yibum. Amar Rav said in kofin. So we'll say now again. So now what the Gemara is saying over here in our present reality, we would rather have people do chalitza than yibum, because we're just too afraid that a person is not going to perform the mitzvah of yibum l'shem shemayim for the right purposes, but rather they may have some other personal desires involved. So Rav says. In Kofin, we don't force him. Now, we don't force him to what? It's interesting. We don't force him to do chalitza. See, even though we said over here, we just said, the Gemara says that today, we rather people do chalitza because we're not sure they're doing l'shem shemayim. If somebody presents, the surviving brother says, I want to do yibum and I want to do it for the right reasons, Rav says, okay, we let him do it. We don't force him to do chalitza. Listen to this. When a couple would come before Rav, this is when the couple over here is the widow, the sister-in-law, and the surviving brother. Amr Luhu, he would say to them, Ibois chalutz, Ibois yabin. If you want to do chalitza, do chalitza. If you want to do yibum, do yibum. I will say, if you notice, the order over here, of course, is very interesting. What does he put first? He puts chalitza. Because clearly he's reflecting the idea that the truth is, if you ask me what you should do, I think you probably should do chalitza. But if you feel you're doing this l'shem shemayim, then at the end of the day, you absolutely can do it. Bididach. The Torah gives you, this is your decision. Because what does the Torah say? That if the man does not want to take the woman, then he could do chalitza. So again, the Torah itself says that it's up to you to decide. If you want to do chalitza, do chalitza. If you want to do yibum, do yibum. And even Rav Yehuda agreed that even though the Gemara just said we'd rather have you do chalitza because we're afraid you're not going to do the yinsav yibum l'shem shamayim. But if you say you want to do yibum, we don't force you to do chalitza. Midaskin Rav Yehuda begita de chalitza, because Rav Yehuda instituted when he would have a get of chalitza delivered. And I will say when the Gemara used lashon of get of chalitza, what that just refers to is a document of chalitza. Because remember, again, a woman would want to have documentation ultimately of the fact that she had chalitza, because this again would essentially be her license to marry anyone in the general marriage pool, except kohanim midrabanon. So what would he write? Ech plonis bas ploni, akravas yas ploni yevama kadamna lebedina. So he wrote in the shtar that so and so, the daughter of so and so, referring to the yevam, referring to the widow, came before us with so and so the yavam. And what happened? He came before our beis din. V'ash damudinhu de'achuha demisna me'abanihu. And we recognized that the man standing here was indeed the brother of the deceased husband, the paternal brother of the deceased husband. V'amrilei, and we said to the yavam, Itzavis liyavim yavim, v'ilo itla le raglech diyemina. If you want to do yibum, But if you don't want to do Yibum, then extend your right foot. The itla la ragla di yamina, and he extended his right foot to the Yibum. This is all written in the Shtar Avosai. Visharis sine me'al raglohi, and she took the shoe off his foot. Viyarkis ba'an pohi, and she spit. Now I will say ba'an pohi could literally be translated in his face. Now she doesn't spit in his face. She spits in front of him, meaning that it's visible to all. Roka demischazi lebedina al ara, and she spit again enough that her spit was recognizable to the entire basin. And again, we're going to get into this when we get into the process of chalitza on the ground. So I'll say, so why does the Gemara bringing this down? So this was the shtar of chalitza. Bless you. What do you see from the shtar of chalitza over here? That even in this shtar, Rabbi Yehuda would write what? That we asked the Yavam, do you want to do Yibum or do you want to do Chalitza? So the Gemara is just pointing out over here that even after the Gemara adopts the approach that Chalitza is the preferred method because we can't attest to L'shem Shamayim intent of the individual. If a person says they want to do Yibum, we do not force them to do Chalitza. First wide line of Abosai Nadav. Rabbi Chiya Bar Avya Mesayebe B'Shmei Rabbi Yehuda. And I will say, Rabbi Chiya Bar Avya, in the document that he wrote for Chalitza, he would add in another piece in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. V'akrinu Ma'adichsi B'Seif O'Raisa. We read to the Yavam what is written in the Torah. B'Seif O'Raisa D'Moshe. So we'll say again in Rabbi Yehuda's version, they just added in this additional line, and we read to him the Yavam all that is written in the book of Moshe. In other words, what they would do is, before apparently the Yavam would take any action, they would read him the psukim of the Torah of the section of Yibum, so that he should know exactly explicitly what his options were. Fine. So we'll say Ashtim Adinhu. So we'll say, remember again, interestingly enough, in the Shtar of Rabbi Yehuda, so in the Shtar it was written, Ashtim Adinhu means they recognized, or we recognized, excuse me. We recognized that this man, this Yavam who is standing here, is in fact the paternal brother of the deceased man. So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. What does it mean we recognized him? So this is Machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad Amar Be'edim. One says he recognized him how? Witnesses had to come to attest to the fact that the man standing here is indeed the brother, the paternal brother of the deceased. V'chad amar no, afilu karav v'lishanein, you don't need edus. We'll say you don't need edus. Even a relative could testify, even a woman could testify. V'hilchasa, meaning you don't need proper edus. V'hilchasa, what is that halacha? Gilui milsa ba'amu. We'll say, I don't need actual testimony. What do I need? Gilui milsa. What is gilui milsa? Gilui milsa just means a revelation of fact. So a revelation of fact means I just need someone to pretty much attest to something that is pretty much well known. So gilui milsa doesn't require proper channels of edos. Rather, just anyone could show up and just give information. Therefore, this is only a gilui milsa, and therefore, v'afilu kar v'afilu yishra. I'm saying that is indeed halacha l'maisa. That again, in the basin proceeding of chalitza, we do like to attest to the identity of the Yavam, but you don't require formal edus. You just require, again, a simple affirmation of that which we already know, and therefore even a relative or even a woman could go ahead and accomplish that for Beis Din. Barushona, shahayu miskan l'shen shahamitzas yibim kodemes l'mitzas chalitza, v'achshav she'ein, So also remember, what did the Gemara say before? The Gemara said before that in the beginning, that people had proper intent for the mitzvah of Yibum, then we said that Yibum was preferable to Chalitza. But now that people don't have proper intent, we say that what? That Chalitza is preferable to Yibum. Amar Rabbi Barcham, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Chazru lomar mitzvah Yibum kodemus la mitzvah Chalitza. So let's listen to this. Sarai Barcham said in Rabbi Yitzchak, that in our days, the conventional wisdom is, the rabbinic opinion is, that we should do Yibum. So also, in other words, what Rami Marcham is saying is, in the beginning they said do Yibum over Chalitza because they felt people could do L'shem Shemayim. Something changed. People were nervous about people's intent, and therefore better to do Chalitza than to do Yibum. Rabbi Bar Chama comes along and says, it's changed again, and today we assume that people can do it L'shem Shemayim for the right intent, and therefore we advocate for Yibum over Chalitza. Amarli Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, are you telling me Achshur Dari? Are you telling me again that our generations are better than the earlier generations? Well, so remember, we generally operate with the idea of Niskatnu Hadoros. Niskatnu Hadoros means that the further we move away from Har Sinai, the more we struggle to maintain a certain level of spirituality. So are you telling me now that Rabbi Racham is saying that we're better presently than the previous generations, that the previous generations, again, didn't have proper intent for you, and now we can have proper intent? To which the Wasif Gemara says, no. Meikara savrila kabashol ulubasof savrila kirabanam. In fact, Rabbi Racham is actually not discussing, is not talking about the nature and spiritual quality of the generations. He's talking about whose opinion you hold like. What does that mean? In the beginning, he held like Abishol, and then he decided to hold like the Rabbanan. We'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This Sanyo. Abishol or Abishol says, it's actually very strong. We actually saw this already earlier. Hakonis es yivim to l'shem nui, Ulashem Eshus, Ulashem Davar Acher. It will say, if a surviving brother marries the widow of his sister-in-law, either because she's beautiful, or perhaps Lashem Ushus. Lashem Ushus means what? Companionship. You know, he's not married, right? Wonderful, he has a wife now. Or Lashum Davar Acher, for any other reason. Well, so what could be another reason? There's money. Because remember, again, Rabbi say, if he marries her, then what does he get? He gets his deceased brother's portion. So Abishol says, if he marries a woman for any ulterior motive, then what? Ki'ilu pogea be'erva. That is no different. That's not called yibum, says Abishol. That's not called yibum. Right? Yibum is only if you marry the woman for pure intentions. And if you're not marrying her, if it's not yibum, then what? Then it's as if you're marrying your brother's wife, which is mamish and iser erva. Watch this. Ve'karov ani be'enai lihios havlad mamzer. And Abishol says, in my eyes, I would actually be, that kid is almost like a mamzer. And I will say, you can't really be almost, can't be almost pregnant, right? You can't, right? A little, you can't be almost a mamzer. Either you are a mamzer or you're not a mamzer. Although I think we know some people who are almost a mamzer, right? But again, halachically, you can't be almost a mamzer. Well, Abishol is trying to make a point. Abishol says, look, I can't categorize this child as a mamzer, but I'm just telling you the severity with which I hold this is that I think a child like that borders on being a mamzer. In other words, that I believe that this is an illicit union. That's Abishol's position. Therefore, Abishol would simply take the approach of saying that essentially, Rabbi say, in Abishol's model, essentially, we're going to talk about this. The question Abishol is, does that mean according to Abishol, there's no evil? Because Abishol is essentially saying that Lemaisa, again, I guess somebody would have to be able to say with 1,000% clarity that I have absolutely no ulterior motives in this relationship except to fulfill the mitzvah. If you have any any little bit of ulterior motives, Abishol says, don't do it. Okay. The Chum say no. Yavama yava ala mikomakom. Chum say no. At the end of the day, boss, is actually a good hashkafic debate as well. Chum say, look, you know what? The truth is, I don't care what your intents are. If your intent is for the money, if your intent is because she's beautiful, if your intent is because, Lamaisa, you're lonely and you have no one in your life, whatever your intent is, I don't really care. Because what does the Torah say? The Torah says, do yibum. Who says the Torah is regulating what you're thinking? Boss, it's very important to say in general, Torah very rarely regulates thoughts and emotion. Torah regulates actions. So the Chum say, the Torah tells you to do yibum with her. What does it matter what your intentions are? So the Gemara says, man tanu tan rabana. So we'll say, this is the fundamental machlokis between Abishol and the Chachamim. So therefore, again, man tanu tan rabana. So we'll say, who is the opinion who says, actually, we'll say, we're going to stop over here for today. We'll stop over here. I know, suspense over here. We'll stop here. Yeah, we'll stop over here. If we have a chance of being somewhat on time for davening, we'll stop here. We absolutely do chalitza today. Yibum. So we'll discuss. We're gonna discuss. This is the sugya. We're gonna get to the bottom of this, Emir Tzashem.